Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Do Mormons get credit for trying? And if so, what does that even mean? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. At General Conference in April of 2016, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, a Mormon apostle in the LDS Church, gave a talk titled, "Tomorrow the Lord Will Do Wonders Among You." And I think you'd probably agree, Eric, that if there's any one phrase that Jeffrey Holland said in this conference message that he gave, it was this, that Mormons can improve, and the great thing about the gospel is we get credit for trying, even if we don't always succeed.
That's music to the ears of many who haven't really heard that kind of message before.
Because we often hear Latter-day Saints, when we challenge them with what the Book of Mormon says, what the Doctrine and Covenants says, and what Mormon leaders in the past have said regarding what is required of them. And it's very clear, you cannot escape it, folks. When it comes to the Book of Mormon, when it comes to the Doctrine and Covenants, and when it comes in other past General Conference messages, Mormons are supposed to repent of all their sins, meaning confess them and forsake them, never to repeat those sins again. Mormons are also told to keep all the commandments. And when we challenge Latter-day Saints, asking them, are you doing that? The answer is usually, well, we are trying. So when you say this is music to their ears, you are assuming, Eric, based on the conversations that you've had with Latter-day Saints regarding this very phrase, and I'm sure more Christians are going to hear this as they begin talking with their Mormon friends on the streets, that somehow the idea that Latter-day Saints get credit for trying, the very words that Jeffrey Holland has given, that somehow that means perhaps they don't have to repent of all their sins, and maybe they don't have to keep all the commandments, and that somehow they're going to still end up in the celestial kingdom. In other words, celestial law, the law they're supposed to keep in order to get into the celestial kingdom, no longer has a definition that can be clearly defined. If these people are interpreting Jeffrey Holland correctly.
That's true.
And that is the million-dollar question, because if they're misinterpreting what Jeffrey Holland was trying to say when he said that you get credit for trying, then they miss out on the celestial kingdom. They'll miss out on that if they misinterpreted what Holland was saying. Well, let's talk about that. You were having a conversation with a couple of young ladies on this very issue, and they brought up Jeffrey Holland's talk. Not only did they bring up Jeffrey Holland, they also brought up Brad Wilcox.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Brad Wilcox in yesterday's show. Brad Wilcox is a BYU professor who gave a talk on grace, as Mormons are to understand it. And a lot of Mormons have gravitated towards what Brad Wilcox was saying, and they interpreted Brad Wilcox as somehow implying that, again, as long as you're just trying, that's good enough. How did these two young ladies interpret Jeffrey Holland?
Well, let me first set this up a little bit. These two ladies that I was in conversation with were asking me about what it was required for in Christianity for a person to get the very best we had to offer. So I explained how it was faith alone and explained the role of works. And I asked them then, what did they think a person had to do? And their basic response was, well, as long as we're trying our best. I said, well, where do you get that concept? And they mentioned Wilcox, as you said, as well as the talk we're talking about now with Jeffrey R. Holland. And they said, well, Holland says that we get credit for trying. And one of the young ladies was very happy about this talk because she says it gives hope to those of us who realize how impossible it is to do everything we're supposed to do. And so he was trying to encourage us. And so this idea of trying, as long as I'm doing my very best, and I may not always succeed, at least I know I'm on that path. And my response was, well, that doesn't seem to be consistent with some of the passages that I have read from their own scriptures, such as D&C 58 and D&C 1 and other passages, which I told them. But they really want to cling to this despite what other leaders have said.
So they're basically looking at what Holland said, this idea of credit for trying, as an escape hatch. They're admitting, and I have to say, if you read Holland's talk in the Ensign, he is admitting that not everybody can do everything.
Right.
He admits this. Then my question to Mr. Holland is, why in the world does your scripture say you're supposed to then?
Right.
I mean, when it says that God cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance, according to Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 31, God cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. That's how I interpret that. The question is how do you get rid of those sins if, in fact, you are a sin-prone Latter-day Saint?
And you're bringing out a good point with verse 31, but what about verse 32, which says, nevertheless, he that repents, which is what the ladies had mentioned before, they had repented, and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven.
And I think in order to answer that question, we have to again go back to what Mormon leaders have said regarding repentance. And here's Wilford Woodruff, who was the fourth president. And what is repentance? The forsaking of sin. The forsaking of sin. Now that's found in Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Wilford Woodruff. This is a correlated manual. This is not an old manual from the 19th century or even the 20th century. This is a 21st century manual, page 71 and 72.
Let me give you a couple others from church manuals. One is the Doctrine and Covenants and Church History Seminary Student Guide from 2001 on page 106. It says, forsaketh in verse 1 of D&C 93, it means repents of, gives up, and never does again. And in Gospel Fundamentals, a 2002 manual on page 67, it says, our Father in heaven does not sin, and he does not allow people who sin to live with him. To live with him, we must repent of our sins. To repent means to feel sorry for our sins and stop doing them.
And then you have Joseph F. Smith, the sixth president of the church, in a book that is really a classic in Mormonism, Gospel Doctrine. On page 100, he says, true repentance is not only sorrow for sins and humble penitence and contrition before God, but it involves the necessity of turning away from them, a discontinuance of all evil practices and deeds, a thorough reformation of life, a vital change from evil to good, from vice to virtue, from darkness to light. Now, my question that I would ask at this point, are we really to believe that when Holland uses this expression that we get credit for trying, that Holland was undermining all the very things that we just read?
Right.
See, I'm having a hard time with that. I think what Holland was trying to say, and I could be wrong on this, but this is, I guess, a fault on Holland's part because he doesn't make himself very clear. You had those two Latter-day Saint ladies who thought, well, this has given me a license that I can get away with some of this stuff, and I don't have to really have it all accounted for. That somehow, because I'm trying, that's okay. I get credit for that. My question is, what kind of credit are we talking about? Do you get the credit of celestial exaltation merely for trying? Is that really what Holland is saying? Because I don't buy that. I don't think Holland would say that.
In my conversation with these ladies, I brought out The Miracle of Forgiveness, a book that I've used many times before by Spencer W. Kimball. It's been recommended twice at General Conference as a book that Latter-day Saints ought to read. And so I cited some of this. I'd like to cite it here and be able to let the listener hear what Holland is saying, according to what these ladies heard him say, is contrary to what Spencer Kimball said.
Before you cite that, there are some Latter-day Saints that do tend to discount what Kimball taught. Now, Kimball was a Mormon apostle when he wrote it.
Yeah.
When he was president, he didn't change it. Jeffrey Holland is a Mormon apostle. So as a Latter-day Saint, whose words are you going to trust? If you really think that Holland is disagreeing with what Kimball is saying here, what if Holland's wrong? What if you're wrong in your interpretation of Holland?
And then the question is, does God change the way that he deals with mankind and how a person is supposed to get the very best this religion has to offer? But listen to page 164, what was said by Spencer Kimball in his a title that's trying is not sufficient. Then he says, nor is repentance complete when one merely tries to abandon sin. To try with the weakness of attitude and effort is to assure failure in the face of Satan's strong counteracting efforts. What is needed is resolute action. A story will perhaps illustrate this.
And then he goes on to tell the story of an army officer and a soldier who was given a duty. And the officer explains to the soldier what needs to be done in delivering this proverbial message, as it's described. And what does the soldier say? He says, well, I'll try. And he's rebuked for saying he's merely going to try. Then I'll do it or die. And he goes on giving all these excuses. But what does the officer come back with? Look, I don't want you to merely try. I don't want you to die. I want you to deliver the message. And he gives the impression in the story that the duty of the soldier is to deliver a message that he should be able to deliver.
He says, you can do what I have ordered. Now get out of here and accomplish your mission. And then Kimbo goes on and says, it is normal for children to try. They fall and get up numerous times before they can be certain of their footing. But adults who have gone through these learning periods must determine what they will do, then proceed to do it. To try is weak. To do the best I can is not strong. We must always do better than we can. This is true in every walk of life.
And it goes back to my original question. How are we to end up? How is a Latter-day Saint to end up? Because we know that life has a lot of struggles, and there's always going to be a lot of temptations. There's going to be effort. There's going to be opportunities that we must do better than we have in the past. So trying, we're not downplaying the nobility of trying to be better tomorrow than you were today. But how is a Mormon supposed to end up? Holland really doesn't answer that question in this talk, but unfortunately, because he doesn't clearly explain what he means by credit for trying, Latter-day Saints are going to take that little phrase and they're going to run with it. We've already seen this happening as the example that you just gave, Eric, with the two young ladies that you talked about. So what if they're misinterpreting what Holland's saying?
And that's a good point. And I would say, what does the Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenants say about this issue? And as far as the ability for people to be able to do it, as Spencer Kimball seems to show, he quotes 1 Nephi 3:7, which says that God shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing which he commanded them. The commands that God has given are doable.
And you've heard me say many times, I think Kimball is consistent within the context of Mormonism and the understanding of law. I think the miracle of forgiveness gives a pretty consistent idea of that. I would say that if Holland is going against the grain of what Kimball was saying, the question for the Latter-day Saint is, which should they believe, Holland or should they believe Kimball?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. All of us at Mormonism Research Ministry want to wish you and yours a joyous Christmas season as we remember the miraculous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save his people from their sins. If Viewpoint on Mormonism has been a blessing to you, would you consider a generous year-end gift to help further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry? Please know that your tax-deductible gift to MRM is very much appreciated, and we humbly thank you for your kind support.